Am I on?
Very good. I hear my voice, which is always quite scary.
How are you guys? Welcome to 4 o'clock Monday, first day of MMS, first full day. Hopefully you still have some money in your pockets yet to spend out at the various casinos in Vegas. My name's Steve Rahe. I am a senior premier field engineer at Microsoft. Been around the System Center world for about 15 years, a long time. Today we're going to spend some time talking about Config Manager and Orchestrator. So here's kind of the agenda for what I want to do. And by the way, I have some ergonomic things going on up here. I'm kind of taller than the norm, so hopefully y'all can still see me over the laptop and elevated screen. I'm sure you can. So here's the agenda, what I want to do. So this is the introduction, what I'm doing now, right? And then we're going to go through some precursor work to talk about Orchestrator a bit, some components, talk about, you know, some rationale behind why Orchestrator and Config Manager. And then the rest of the time, if you've been to my sessions before, you know I like to spend a lot of time in demo, and that's going to be the same today. So we'll jump off into demo pretty quick, right? So let me set the agenda as far as scope. This session is not about Orchestrator per se. It is, right? So we're going to talk a lot about Orchestrator, but what I mean is it's not going to be deep dive, how Orchestrator works, how you design Orchestrator, those kinds of things. I'll touch on that. Right? Some of you folks may be new to Orchestrator. I ask you to raise your hands, but I can't see you because I have light staring in my face. So what we are going to do, though, is talk about how Orchestrator is uniquely interesting for Config Manager Administrator, and frankly, how it's a very natural fit for Config Manager Administrator through several demos that I'm going to do. And hopefully that'll get the juices going as far as thinking about what's possible. So in terms of Orchestrator components, if this is your first time to look at Orchestrator, a few terms probably should be defined. The first term is a runbook. So one of the cool things, and I'll mention it again pretty much, about Orchestrator and why it's a really cool fit for the Config Manager admin is if you're familiar with task sequencing in Config Manager, you've got a leg up on Orchestrator, right? Think of a runbook, it's not exactly a good parallel, but think of a runbook similar to a task sequence. It's the sequence of events, sequence of things that you want to happen in a given scenario, right? So we'll spend a lot of time talking about runbooks. I'll show you some demo runbooks. Then we have the runbook server. So the runbook server is the component that actually executes the runbook. So when you think of runbooks, one of the things that's different between runbooks and task sequences is the task sequence executes on the box, the target box. The runbook executes on the runbook server across the network and touches out to that target box. All right. So that's one difference. But the runbook server is responsible for executing that. You might have, probably will have, multiple runbook servers in your environment to accomplish the different tasks and the load of running runbooks in different scenarios. Then you have a component which you'll see a lot of today called the runbook designer. So this is very similar, again, parallel in my mind to Visual Studio. It's not like Visual Studio, but it's a graphical design environment for building these runbooks. The graphical design environment, to me, is really cool in terms of helping you think through the flow of how things should work, right, and building it out just so. So we'll see a lot of the runbook designer, and it allows you to test it as well, to debug your runbooks before you put them out in production. So the runbook server, again, is the production. Once you get into production, you deploy it to a runbook server. You build it and test it in the runbook designer, all right? Then thirdly, we have what's called the deployment manager. Okay, so there's a series of pieces that you can use to build runbooks called integration packs, right? They're little, basically kind of like subroutines, little predefined pieces of code to do a certain task. So Orchestrator comes with a good number of them available to you, but then there's additional ones you can add. So the System Center series, you can add to the runbook designer to give you some shortcuts to be able to do various tasks, okay? So we can import those, deploy those using Deployment Manager. Deployment Manager is also the one that helps us build out and designate new runbook servers, that kind of thing. And then finally, the Orchestrator web console is kind of the administrative view into the environment, the running runbooks that are out there, how they're working, how many of them there are, the jobs that are completed, that kind of thing, right? So that's a bit about the infrastructure. I wasn't going to do it, but let me go over here and just show this to you for a minute, because it helps, again, if this is your first time with Orchestrator, to kind of see this live. So the first piece that I'll start with, the only two I'll really show you, is the runbook designer, and then I'll show you the console. So again, this is the design piece, where you build your runbooks. So I will show you the first one and use it kind of to talk about the environment here. So these are all my demo runbooks for the exercise today. And this one, I won't even really go into the contents except to say, you see these little components. And these are just basically titled for my convenience. But all of them come from over here on the right-hand side. They're various shortcuts, if you will, little modules that you can do, choose, just drag into the environment to take action, right? So every runbook has to have a starting point. It could be something that you call from code, could be something that you call from a command line, could be something that you just schedule to happen however often you want, right? But it has to have something that initiates it. Then runbooks can either run totally without data, meaning variables, parameters passed in, whatever, if it works that way, or you can absolutely pass parameters in, variables, and so on, which is really cool. Right, so each one of these steps basically can tap into, I'm simplifying this a bit, but basically can tap into an environment that's shared. So when you have one variable that's defined in one place, used in one place, you can tap into it other places and things. So it's pretty cool. Kind of like task sequencing. Again, right, whenever you define a variable for task sequencing, use it there, you can see it in other steps downstream. Similar concept. All right, so this is where you build the runbook, and you also orchestrate the flow. Oops, helps if I'm on the right machine, doesn't it? And orchestrate the flow with these arrows. You can tell it exactly how this thing runs. So when this starts up, we're going to go to this step, and then we're going to go to that step, and then simultaneously branch over there. So I'll talk to you more about this in just a minute when you see the details of this runbook. But then over here, notice that you have you have a section where you can look at your different runbook servers that are deployed. I just have one. You also can look at global settings, and here enters variables. So I have a couple of variables defined in my environment, one to define my Orchestrator server as a repository for files that I need for one of my demos. Another is a variable that defines where my CAS is. Right? So these are things that I define, and I can leverage them in the runbooks. Then there's other pieces as well, right? So that's generically the runbook designer. Here's where you would actually go in and, sorry, let me click back over here, and launch the runbook tester, which I'll show you in a minute. And then there's also the web-based Orchestrator console, which will pop up and show you basically the status of your various runbooks. And you can execute them from here, see their job status, see the actual runbook live, and so on. One thing here that also you'll see is a check-in, check-out. In order to deploy a runbook, you have to check it in, right? Very much like source code. You check in source code, similar concept, and then you can run it, right? So when you want to edit it, you're going to have to check it out, and so forth. So that's just a brief little tour of Orchestrator, and then I will come back here, and we'll see a number of different things as we go along. All right, so let's shift back over. Now, so why Orchestrator? Again, Orchestrator is cool, pretty cool, right? Just for generic reasons or generic purposes, you'll have a number of sessions this week about Orchestrator and Product X, or using Orchestrator to do whatever. In this case, to me, it's a very natural fit for the Config Manager admin. Again, why? Because we are accustomed to task sequencing. Right? If you're doing anything with OSD or tasking, you already know how to do this conceptually. It's just a little bit of a different tool, and this is very powerful. Here's another reason. For years, people have asked us, hey, we have a need to call a task sequence from a task sequence. Anyone interested in that? Yeah, kind of cool, right? No, sorry, you can't. You can with a runbook. Right? So, and one of the things we'll see coming up is you can call a runbook from a task sequence. So now this request of calling a task sequence from a task sequence, though it's not really a task sequence, you can get there. Right? So pretty cool stuff. All right. Now, in terms of, again, why Config Manager, you can easily use Orchestrator to extend Config Manager. I think of it in kind of two buckets. Everyone loves right-click tools, right? I've stayed away from them for years because I just don't have time. I want to use the tool natively, but everyone I know uses right-click tools. Well, how cool would it be for you to build your own right-click tools to do some of the common tasks that you do anyway and just automate those? Just a few examples are on the screen, right? So you could go maybe collect logs for a failed client. You could go and do an agent restart for some other product, maybe Config Manager, maybe Ops Manager, maybe something else. Yeah, you can go and, do a triggering policy download or whatever. And the possibilities are really endless, right? Then there's the second bucket. The second bucket is more complex workflows. So here's an example, and I'm not going to demo this exactly, but I think it's very interesting, and you can branch off of it from here. So Config Manager now supports Unix and Linux. Y'all know that, right? Unix and Linux admins love to script. That's how they do their job. There's nothing to say you can't use Orchestrator to automate those workflows. In fact, one of the things I'll show you coming up is automating client install with Orchestrator for Unix Linux. Right? We'll come back to that. But again, the purpose of this session, not to show you end-to-end all the possibilities, because hopefully once you see some of these, it'll stimulate some thought in your mind about, well, we could do this. Well, we could do that. Oh, that could be solved with Orchestrator, right? And you'll be right in many cases. All right. So two buckets. So for the ConfigMan admin, maybe all you care to do is build some of these shortcut tools, build some of these right-click tools, automate some of your processes that you need to automate or that you do manually today, or you want to do some complex development. You know, either bucket's fine. For the complex workflows, one of the things that I like about Orchestrator, again, is it's very visual. For anyone who went through programming classes back in the day, I won't tell you how old I am, but flowcharting was a really big deal. Well, I do a bit of coding. I don't do any flowcharting. I know I should, sorry. But for those that struggle, you know, with the idea of, I'll just go ahead and branch forward, scripting. For those that struggle with the idea of when do I call a subroutine, or what does a subroutine look like, or I want to do this and loop back, and all of these kinds of things that you can do pretty easily in code, you can very easily graphically pull that out and show it and demonstrate it and make sense of it in Orchestrator. You don't have to have scripting skills to use Orchestrator. If you do have scripting skills, then Orchestrator opens up even more. You can leverage Orchestrator very effectively with your scripting skills. Again, modularization, it's a natural process in Orchestrator. You could also go as far, so you saw the integration packs and the pieces. That's nothing more than code that's already predefined running under the scenes. Nothing that says that you can't build your own. Right? There's third parties that provide integration packs. You can build your own. Those things that you just need to do and provide to someone else and whatever, you can build them, put them into Orchestrator. All right. So that said, that's about all I'm going to do in PowerPoint. I'm very quickly going to go into the demo. And here's what I want to talk to you about. I want to go through really four scenarios. The first is application deployment. I want to show you how we can bring Orchestrator to bear to enhance application deployment. So application deployment is a generic term that includes the new app model and packages and such. Right? So I'll show you a couple of examples there. Then I want to show you how we can bring Orchestrator to bear for task sequencing, OSD. Right? And then I want to turn the corner and show you an example of using Orchestrator for compliance settings, how we can do some enhancement around that. And then finally, wrap up with an example of doing that Unix Linux-based client install. So we're going to start with app deployment. Okay? So there's two demos that I want to do here. The first one is to show you the app model. So the app model in 2012, pretty cool. There's some really interesting things that you can do in the app model that you could not do so easily in the package model, right? But still, there may be some things that you want to enhance that we don't give you, right? The thing that comes to mind is when you run a deployment, how cool would it be in some scenarios to be able to do a post-installation action? I don't know what that means, but something just beeped. So we don't give you the ability to do a post-installation action, but with Orchestrator, you can do that. I'm going to show you how to do that, and then you can think through other areas of the app model that we could actually enhance and, you know, bring Orchestrator to bear, perhaps. Right? Another one, packages. Yeah, the app model is really cool. Packages still have a place, though. And how cool would it be if you're managing something like Unix, Linux, or even others, to be able to leverage Orchestrator to bring app model-like functionality even to those things that you deploy by packages? So I want to walk you through that. So let me shift over to my lab, and we'll spend a bit of time. All right. So here, let me just pop into Orchestrator again real quick. And I want to show you this first workflow. So, well, actually, let me start differently. So here is my Config Manager console. I thought it was loaded. It's not. Oops. Here is my Config Manager console. All right, so if I go into Software Library, App Deployment, you see that I have just a standard generic application set up here for deploying an application called Rich Copy. Now, Rich Copy is an MSI. It comes as an MSI. You can deploy it all day as an MSI. Fine. But what if you want to do something after the deployment of Rich Copy? In my case, it's going to be a silly example. I'm just going to move some shortcuts around, but you could clean up the environment. You could do whatever, right? There's really not a switch to say, do this post-deployment action. But you can do that with Orchestrator. So the way I've set this up, let me just show you. I've go into the app the right way, and then go into the deployment type. You'll see the program here. All I'm doing is calling a batch file, right? So yeah, you'll probably use a batch file to facilitate that or something like that, that post-install action. But let's look at that batch file and see what it's doing. So if I go onto my local drive, right here, and look at Rich Copy, here is that install.bat. And if I edit it, let me see, I probably can zoom in for those in the back of the room. There we go. So all I'm doing is calling the typical command line for the MSI deployment, much like we would detect through the app model. I'm just putting it in here. And then notice the very second line. I'm using a command line utility, which is a great utility, by the way, and calling a runbook to go do this post-install action, right? So with this, then, I just deploy it like normal to a collection. And, oh, by the way, let me show you this one other thing, too. Let me zoom in again. So notice over here, I'm going to have to quit and move over. On this command line, I'm passing parameters as well. This is important when we understand how this works, right? So I mentioned that the runbook runs on the runbook server. So if I were to run this thing without a parameter to tell it where to go, it would just try to run on the runbook server. Probably would work, but we don't want it to work there. We want it to work on our client, right? So I'm passing a parameter into the runbook of an environment variable to say the local computer name. The reason this works is because when I deploy this, I'm just deploying it to a collection like anything else that we deploy. And the client's going to get it through normal policy. It's going to run this thing, and I'll show you the running it in a minute. And once we're running it locally, this batch file, we know what the local computer name is, pass it up, runbook server knows where to go, we're good to go. Right? All right. So let's keep going. Let me show you again. It's deployed to a collection here. Just a standard Orchestrator demo root collection, just has my Windows 8 machine. So let me pull up Orchestrator now. Oops, here we go. So all this runbook is going to do is, again, there's an initialized data portion. which has the variable defined. Target computer name is going to be a string. I could add more variables if I wanted to, but this is where I start. So it could either be a predefined variable that is available and is in the runbook environment. You can define one per runbook or three or four or whatever, right? Now, from here, I have an arrow pointing the way on where to go. Well, this is not just an arrow. This is a decision tree. So if you look at this, you see if the initialize data step was successful, which it should be, right? Pretty easy. Then proceed. But you could put in another branch that says if initialize data is not successful, then go a different way. And you'll see a lot of this logic being brought to bear in another runbook example that I'll pull up here in a minute. All right, so let's move on. So here, all I'm going to do, again, I name these myself. You know, these are just my own names. I'm just going to take, once Rich Copy is installed, I'm just going to take the shortcut that we lay down and move it, one to the desktop, one to the root of the C drive, just to show a silly example, right? And so you can tell right here, I'm leveraging my variable. So I'm telling it to copy from a location and then telling it where to go, right? Just by variable right here. And then same thing. It's the same computer, so I can use the same variable and all the way to the end, right? So pretty simple. And then finally, I'm going to validate that the item is there just by looking to make sure that I have it in the place that I think I should. And then I'm just going to exit out. No big deal. Right. Now, and then this branch proceeds, same thing. I'm going to copy it to the local or the root of the local drive, C drive, and then validate that. So again, kind of a basic example. The next one will be a little bit more complex. And we'll go run this thing. So let's go to our Windows 8 box. All right, so Software Center. So I have this app here, right? And I've already run this before, but I've cleaned it up, right? So this is Rich Copy. Let me open up. You should see a shortcut get created on the desktop. Let me open up the root of the C drive so you can see it as well. And I brought this forward with the command prompt so you can actually see it run. Let me go back and actually install this thing. And here we go. So you can see it calling. Control 1. You can see it calling. I can't get this thing zoomed. It finished, of course, before I could do it. But basically, it calls through that batch file. And it finishes. Rich Copy is installed. And you just see that the shortcuts just showed up. Right? So pretty simple, but hopefully illustrates some of the things you can do. Right? Is this interesting to you guys? Hopefully. No one said yes. Okay, good. Thank you. So let me go clean this up. All right. This is really weird because my keyboard is lit, but I can't see it up here. So I may hit the wrong thing. Anyway, let me go clean up Rich Copy because we're going to run this in another demo in just a minute. All right. So Config Manager, clean that up. Sorry, demos like this, you have to spend a minute of time getting things back reset. Uninstall. Good enough. Let me tell Config Manager it's good. Should have done that while I was in Control Panel. So now Config Manager will know that it has not run this, or think that it hasn't. Good. All right, cool. Now, so let's move on then. So let me go back to the package example. This will be a little bit more complex, but the silly demo that I did here is simply going to deploy cmtrace. So the scenario I tried to set up is maybe a migration, you know, from Config Manager 2007 to 2012 or whatever. So you have clients out there, you have systems out there that have Trace 32 in place, and you know that Trace 32 just is not the most efficient with Config Manager 2012. And so you want to identify those systems that have Trace 32 on them and deploy you want to deploy cmtrace, but if the system has Trace 32, you want to identify that, remove that, then put down cmtrace, and then all along the way, you want to validate the environment, you want to put logging into place, you want to do all of these things that the app model helps you do, right? It's not that hard to approximate it in Orchestrator. So all I have here, again, is this this package. And for my program, I have the same command line. It's just going to run sco job runner. And this right here, this ID, is the unique GUID that identifies the given runbook that I'm going to apply. So just like before, I'm going to deploy this, or I did deploy this program to my collection where I have my Windows 8 machine, right? So the machine gets it just like normal and can process it. Here's the runbook. A little bit more complex this time. I'll step through a little bit of this, but not everything, right? So the first thing that I want to do with my example here is I want to validate that the environment is ready for the runbook to execute. So what I'm doing in this example is I'm going to lay down a flag file on the root of the C drive called install in progress, and I want to validate whether that file is there. If that file's there, I want to bail out of the routine. I don't want to disturb another installation. Right? If the file's not there, then I'm good to proceed. So we look at our arrow. Right? I told you this is a decision matrix. So file exists. I have all of these items that I can pick and choose from. File exists equals false, meaning it's not there. So I've passed my requirement, and I can move on to the next step. All right. So we'll go to the next step. The first thing I want to do here is create my install log. So I'm going to use this step to, again, these are just predefined. I'm not using anything script-based so far. In fact, I won't until the next example, and the one after that, I can't remember which. So you see that I'm just going to go create. This is a path using the variable to my folder. I'm going to create a file, just an empty file, that I can then use for logging on the root of the C drive. Okay. From there, I'm going to actually write to that log and say, logging initialized. Right. Then from here, I'm going through this real quick, but just because of the time, I can't go in detail. These particular runbook examples I will post on my blog after MMS, so if you want to download these and see what I have, then you can do that. And the green light flashed again. I don't know what that means. Okay. So here I'm going to lay down and create my install in progress flag file, thinking, you know, again, I'm in process of this, so if there's another item that comes in while I'm doing something, it'll back off. And then I have some logging through here. So again, all of these arrows, I'm validating my processes along the way. So once these finish, now I want to do a few precursor checks, kind of like requirement rules, right, or requirements in the app model. First thing I want to do is I want to check to make sure that CCM exec is a running process. I don't want to deploy CM trace unless I know that the client is actively running on the box. So easily enough, I just pull in one of these items and tell it what namespace to check, do the query, and I'm either going to get a result back or I'm not. So look at the little decision matrix here. So here I'm saying, if this query does not return null, meaning I actually get a response, because if I don't get a response, either the query did not match, which I've told it specifically what to look for, CCM exec, or WMI is giving me problems. In either case, I don't want to proceed. Right? So only if the result does not equal null am I going to proceed to the next step. Well, notice I have all of the troubleshooting or all of the logging that I have below it. Right? So this is a little bit of a cosmetic thing or a little, little difficult to see. These arrows, this arrow is actually two. You see two arrowheads. So I'll start with this one. Right? So again, if I return null, if my result equals null, then I have a problem. Or if I have a failure on my WMI query, I have a problem. So I want to log that fact so I know what happened. Right? Or I have the other possibility, which is that it existed, so let me grab this just right. You see the one arrow is highlighted. So again, same criteria. If it did return a result set, then I want to write a success. So from just a given action, you can branch a couple of times, you know, whatever you need, you can spread it out. And then I'll pick up the pace a little bit and walk through the rest of this. So the next thing I want to do is check the version in WMI, and I'll just make sure it is a Config Manager 2012 client. okay? And this is tapping into the file system part of WMI. Then here's my part where I want to check. Okay, I've passed all these things. Now I want to check, is trace 32 here, right? And if it is, then I don't want to stop. I just need to go clean it up. I'm going to log that fact. Then I'm going to go into, again, one of these little pieces on the right-hand side and delete the file, log it, and then continue right back on. Next, I'm going to copy it from my Scorch server, Orchestrator server, the file share there, to my local box, cmtrace, log all that, validate that it actually is there, and then here's a step just to go the extra measure. So we've all launched cmtrace the first time, or trace 32, and it says, hey, do you want to make this the default log viewer? Well, I don't want to really have that pop up, so I might just register in the registry to make that happen. So I can use a step in Orchestrator to call regedit and pipe that into to the registry just from a reg file. Oops. Okay, pretty easy, right? All right, so once that's all done, then I have cmtrace set up, and I want to go clean up the environment, so now I'm going to delete my install in progress log file or text file and clear the path for anything else to run in the environment that I need to. Right? Again, I get this is kind of a weird example, and this hopefully gives you enough, again, to think what's possible. It gives you some ideas as to what, and I could have engineered this a lot more in detail if I wanted to, but hopefully this expresses the point. So let me go run this thing now. Again, helps be on the right PC, doesn't it? All right. So here I'm going to go down to packages. I have the package. All right. Actually, I need to be on my client, don't I? No. Let me go back to Software Center. There we are. And this has already been installed. Packages don't know that they've been uninstalled or whatever. Like the app model does. So I'm going to install cmtrace. So this is not going to be really a lot of action to look at, but what you will see, let me see if I can get zoom it ready to go so you can see this a little bit better. What you will see whenever I get this done is that you'll have a couple of files that start in here first. One is the install in progress and the other is the log file. And then shortly after that, you'll see cmtrace appear. And then shortly after that, you'll see the install in progress file go away. And then we'll have cmtrace and we'll have the different logging that took place. So let me run this. And after it finishes, I'll show you these files. But hopefully for those close, you can see them showing up here. So I quickly ran the runbook. It's running. It's coming down to this server. And you should start to see these things show up. And there we are. So here's the log. Install in progress, cmtrace should show up in a minute. There it is, and then the install in progress file went away, right? So it just stepped right through that runbook and worked fine, right? So if I look in the, look in the app install log, you can see the various logging that took place, right? So again, hopefully illustrates the point. Okay. So let me clean this up, because again, I will use this again in just a minute. All right. So let's shift back to the PowerPoint and do our next example. So, okay. Moving on to OSD. OSD and Orchestrator. So there's two examples I want to show here pretty quickly. So on my blog some time back, I put up an example of how you can use a web page to totally drive the OSD imaging process. So the ask at the time, which is why I kind of did this, is to have a web interface that a user could use without having to have a local console to completely build up a deployment for an image in Config Manager, again, without the console. So I did this. It's fully documented in my blog. I didn't count it, but I think it's somewhere around 500 lines of code. Right? Here's the web interface. So you can put in what kind of imaging scenario, bare metal, you know, replace, you know, whatever it is. You can put in the MAC address. So if it's a new computer, it's a bare metal scenario. We'll import the machine into Config Manager. You can put in all the applications you want to deploy. You can put in time zones, regions, all these things, right? And then we will go through in Config Manager, we'll build a collection, or this will. We'll build a collection. We'll import the machine into the collection. We'll add the variables. So all this is driven by variables in Config Manager. And then we'll take the task sequence that you identify in this web page and deploy it to the collection we just created. Completely automatic. Right? It's a pretty cool idea. You can use Orchestrator to do the exact same thing. And what I'm going to show you, now I didn't build it all out with all the bells and whistles. You know, I'm not putting up a web page or whatever. But the nuts and bolts of this thing aren't that difficult to do. Okay? So let me shift back and show you that example over here. So let's move on and move back over to the lab. So let me start with the runbook. So if I go over to Orchestrator, this tiny runbook is all I need to replace 500 lines of code. Okay, now, okay, admittedly, this doesn't have the bells and whistles, so it might not actually replace 500, maybe 250. I don't know. I haven't counted it. But hopefully the point will be driven home that this can be done quite effectively in something like Orchestrator. Now, what I did is I didn't decide how you get into this runbook. All I'm going to do is run this in runbook tester, and I'm going to have to enter a few variables that you might supply some other way. So you could take that same web page as a collection of information and then use that SCO job runner to call this runbook with all of those variables defined and start the process, right? Or you could decide to do something with existing pieces to have your user go to a SharePoint site and supply data into a SharePoint list doc of some sort and go scrape that every so often, maybe every hour, every day, whatever. You can do this on a schedule and have your variables populated from that list and supply them to your runbook and continue the process. Right? Or you could do it with an Excel spreadsheet, or you could do it with whatever you want to do. It's up to you. Right? Here, I'm just going to do it manually to show you how it's possible. So to do this, I'm going to go into the runbook tester. And before I actually go show, again, have to be at the right PC. Before I show you this and kind of walk you through the steps, I'm going to start this because it does take a minute. Just because I don't have the timings exactly perfect yet. So I'm just going to run this through. And I can step through it or whatever. So I just have some names or some data to fill out. So I'll just call this Scorch Collection, or I will call it that other thing that I'm typing there because I had the keys wrong. I'll call this Scorch Computer. I'll call this App 1. Call this CST. I call this Deploy Windows 7. Call this location will be Dallas. That's where I'm at. North Central. Oops, location would be Texas. North Central. And then imaging, I'll say it's bare metal. Maybe I'll be in DFW area. Maybe this is at 2. And I'll just put in a dummy MAC address. So I'll just do 44444444444. Okay, so this is a bare metal machine. So I'll just hit OK. So the runbook starts running. Off we go. Right? So I'll let this run for a minute, and I'll step you through what it's doing. So this initialized data screen just defines variables that need to be passed into the task sequence. Again, this isn't a complete list. It could be different depending on what you want, right? Handle it a different way. But this is what I'm using for the demo. So this is just defining what those variables are. All right, then the next step in here will go through and actually create my collection. So this is just a Config Manager item from the list for Config Manager 2012. Here's my variable to connect to CAS. So one thing I haven't shown you, how do you leverage, how do you actually make use of a parameter that you've passed in? How do you make use of a variable that's defined? Pretty easy once you know where it is. So here I just right-click. So I click in my area, right-click. Come on. Well, in this case, I can do the ellipsis. Here it is defined. But normally in here, I could come in and I could, so here's the collection name for initialized data. Basically, you can go into here and right-click and subscribe to publish data or variable data. So that's how we pull it in. Right? So here's my type of collection, a device collection. It's going to be based on all systems. It's going to have this comment put in there so you know it's created by Orchestrator. And it's going to use incremental updates. From here, all I'm going to do is import these collection variables and import my machine into the collection. This is the first time I'm using any script. But notice I'm using the config manager PowerShell command. Let me tell you, this is a many-fold reduction in code versus what I had to do in VBScript. And it's really easy, right? So first thing I'm going to do is go and import my computer. You see that in the first line. Then I'm going to go wait for a minute, clean up, then go create all of my task sequence variables. Then I'm going to wait again for it to settle down. Then I'm going to go create, import my machine into a collection and do the deployment in the next step. All right. So then once I get that done, I will go through and deploy the task sequence. Again, this is a predefined step. So I can tell it, in this case, I can deploy this particular task sequence, or I could do variables. If I have a variable, which I did actually define it as a variable, I could leverage that to enable, you know, so for example, you might have folks that are wanting to image Windows 7 still. Yeah, certainly no one wants to image Windows XP, right? No one. All right, good. Right, or Windows 8, or Server 2012, or whatever, right? And you can control that by variable, and so on. So the very last thing is we do that. We create it as an available deployment, or you could do something like here. Maybe you don't want us to automatically create a deployment. Would make sense, you know, that you might be cautious around that, and instead you might have a step that sends an email to an administrator to say, hey, someone's asked for a new deployment, it's all set up, ready to go. Go review this, and then you can go and manually create the deployment or whatever. Right? Okay, so really simple. Again, you could put some more logic around this, probably would in a production environment, but this is enough to illustrate the point. And here, everything worked through. So at this stage, I should have in Config Manager a collection built, a machine imported, and a deployment ready to go. So here, let's go to Assets and Compliance. Here's my devices. And I see here's my Scorch computer. If I look at device collections, I see Orchestrator, where is it, Scorch collection. If I go to properties on it, so here's my tag created by Orchestrator. Here's my variables, where is it, collection variables right here, all those ones that I defined. And if I then look at it, deployments, I indeed have my OSD image deployed to this collection, so we should be good to go. Right? Okay. So again, a little bit more you could do, probably would in production, but I hope it illustrates the point. Now, let me do the other OSD demo real quick. So this one is kind of just showing you, this is really simple, how you can use OSD to actually call a runbook from a task sequence. So this is not an OSD specific thing, right? I'm just going to use a simple task sequence, which you can run totally without imaging in mind, and call a runbook. So if I go into software library again, look at my packages. Oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Operating system images, or task sequence, whatever. Here's a runbook via task sequence. So this is really, really basic. So thanks to our good friends on the MDT team, we have a nice little plugin here for executing a runbook. So if you don't use MDT integration, right, and I don't mean having a complete MDT server set up, that's not what I mean. But if you're using OSD and you have not integrated MDT so that you can take advantage of these extra steps for your task sequence, you really should, right? They give you some really cool stuff. So this is one of them. So I can go through and I can tell it where my Orchestrator server is, and I can go and run the runbook. So here the first step is, like with many MDT things, I have to set up and load the MDT toolkit package. And then I have my demo 1.2, that's the one I've already seen with CMTrace. I tell it what variable to use, And from there, I just deploy it out like anything else. Right? It's deployed. So now if I go to now if I go to my config manager agent, this isn't a new runbook, so I don't have to show you that. This is just the CM trace. I can go ahead and tell this thing to reinstall. And again, it's going to take a minute. It has to download and install the MDT components and such just for this. It won't take long. But you'll see it's got the task sequence folder there. It's downloading the content for the MDT package. And then after that, it will shift over and run the runbook. Right? So let's give it a second to do that. And we'll have the couple of files here in just a minute that we can look at. And it's really slow up here. It may not be as slow out there, but when you're waiting up here, it seems slower than it does when you're prepping it. So any minute now. All right, so here we go, running the runbook. We should see the file start to show up here in just a minute. There they are. And the rest, you know what's going to happen. It's going to have CM trace and get rid of that. So good to go. So I'll just go back and we'll move on. All right, so let me pull the client down. And shift back over just for a minute, just briefly. So the next thing that I want to show as far as something to stimulate your thoughts is how you can use Orchestrator for compliance settings. Okay? So we give you in 2012 some really cool ability for some of the simple things that we might detect, like a registry key, to remediate things that you find wrong, right? But for some of the more complex things, we don't auto-remediate for you because they're pretty complex. But you could absolutely auto-remediate certain findings yourself. So this is in the vein of checking agents, making sure agents are healthy, making sure they're responding the way that you want them to, that kind of thing, again, even outside of System Center. So in this demo, what I want to do is look for an unhealthy ops manager agent, right? And if it's unhealthy, I want to basically stop the service, do a couple of things that I know should fix the ops manager agent, restart the service, and let it go. And again, a simple example. And I'm not even going to run through it, you know, but I'll show you how this is pieced together. You could build this into a lot more than what it is, and you could apply it a lot further than what you're going to see. But hopefully this will give you some ideas about what to do. So let me step you through the environment first. So let's go over to the way this is set up. So as it's in compliance, let's go into configuration items or configuration settings. So I basically have two configuration items. And you could have a number more, you could put them all together, whatever. So what I want to do is make sure that, first of all, the agent is running. And then secondly, I want to make sure the agent has downloaded Management Pack content into the Management Pack folder. So if you know anything about Ops Manager needs a set of rules to do monitoring with. Those rules will exist in downloaded Management Pack components in the Management Packs folder. So if you have an empty Management Packs folder, probably a good sign something's wrong. You could add more checks, you know, beyond this and say, oh, does it report to the right management server? Does it have the right dated config cache? Does it have all of these things? You could add that. I didn't. Right? So once I have these couple of checks, then I'm going to go create them onto a baseline and deploy that baseline. So here's the baseline. And the evaluation conditions are here. And you see it's deployed to this collection called Orchestrator Demos root. Right? So that just contains my Windows 8 machine. Now, I'm going to go out and I'll show you the agent. So the agent has already evaluated this. Let me go into the agent here. So we'll look at my applet. You'll see that I have my configurations. It's here, it's non-compliant. If I view the report, you see that my Ops Manager agent is running But the management packs folder is not populated, which is an indication of a problem. So the entire baseline evaluates to non-compliant, right? That's typically the way you do it. I won't get into a compliance settings discussion here. You can take other approaches, but for this, I want the entire baseline to be green. Otherwise, there's an indication of a problem. So now I need to go figure out, how do I remediate this problem? Right. So the way I do that on the config manager side is, I'll go ahead and close this down. Let me get rid of this. So I go into my, I have a collection here that is built to pick up any unhealthy ops manager agents. You see that I have one agent in there because I set this up ahead of time and my agents or my machines in there. So if I go into properties on this collection, look at my membership rules. Let me edit this. Edit query statement. So if I look at criteria, there's really two criteria. Again, apologize for those that might be having trouble seeing this at the back. The first one, so I need to do two things. First thing I need to do is identify that I'm working with the baseline that I know that I deployed to check Ops Manager Agent Health. That's number one. Then the second thing is I need to see, is that baseline compliant or non-compliant? Right? So I'm going to need two query rules to do that. The first is, tell me the baseline, and then tell me whether there's compliance, yes or no. So if I go look at this, we'll start with this one. So you'll see that the first rule is just simply picking out, I'll show it to you this way. So from my drop-down list, I have configuration item compliance state, and I've got it set to CI unique ID is equal to this thing. So this thing is the long GUID of my baseline, right? So you can uniquely see that a compliance settings CI has baseline in the name. And you can determine what these baseline values are. I'll show you that in a minute if I remember to. All right. Then the other one is that it has to equal non-compliant. So again, same thing. I'm going into non-compliant state, compliant state name equals non-compliant. So if those two match, then I will show up in this collection. Right? Notice, though, I don't have any deployments in this collection. It's completely blank. All I'm doing is using this collection as an indicator of those systems that have the problem that I'm trying to detect. That's it. Right? Okay, so let's see. So now, once I have that, I can go over to Orchestrator and show you the next demo, which is this one. Again, pretty simple. But notice this time, I'm running this thing on a schedule. I'm running it once a day. All right, so every day, I'm going to go out and get the membership of this collection, Unhealthy Ops Manager Agents. And so if there's 10 machines that are Unhealthy Ops Manager Agents, I'm going to process this runbook on all 10. And go try to fix it in an automated way, right? So again, silly example, but all I'm doing here is I'm going to go through and I'm going to stop the Ops Manager agent. I'm going to clear the agent config cache. I know that anyone familiar with Ops Manager has done that a time or two, probably. Clear the queue files, which I know you've done too. And then restart the Ops Manager agent, which should cause it to try to reconnect up to the management server, download all that stuff again, regenerate a config file. And in theory, we might work. Right? Now, you, again, could add a lot more to it, but hopefully illustrates the point of the kinds of things you can do and extend it to things beyond Ops Manager, beyond Config Manager, beyond System Center. It's really useful. All right. So let's see. Time check. All right, so let's move this out for a minute. And go back. So last thing I want to show you is client install. So this is not one of mine. This is put together by a colleague of mine named Neil Peterson, which I'll mention him again in a minute. But it's a really interesting scenario, right? So how many of you folks, maybe you can see your hands, I don't know, but how many of you folks, by show of hands, use client push? I can't tell. I'm assuming there's hands up, so there you go. Oh, it's very common, right? Unix, Linux, can you use client push? Not so much. So what if you want a client push-like scenario for deploying Unix and Linux clients? Orchestrator is a great solution. Okay. So let me walk through how that looks. So if I go over to my orchestrator box and go down to my next example, and this one again is downloadable from the web, from Neil's blog. And Neil is actually here. Let me just go ahead and advertise this real quick. Neil's here. He's going to be doing a session on Orchestrator doing complex patching, specifically focusing on using Orchestrator to patch clusters. So check that session out for sure, because it'll be a good one. So this is a really simple runbook that I just showed to show you again what's possible with Unix Linux, but also to show you all of the runbooks that I've done so far are standalone. They just are self-contained. You can have runbooks call runbooks, as I've mentioned, right? So here I just have a parent runbook, and you notice that I have three additional runbooks that do various actions. You can absolutely split them up this way. So the first thing that I want to do is mount client files. Again, this is Unix Linux. So if I look at this, all this is doing is it's going and calling the runbook to mount files. Or mount folder. So mount folder comes out here, and it's going to run the command to make a directory. This is all SSH, Unix Linux. Make a directory for the config manager client files. And then it's going to mount those. All this is the way we do it according to our docs. Mount those on the target computer name. Here's another variable. And then this section's done, so it returns control back to the parent. And then the next section is we're going to actually install the client, which calls the next runbook, which goes and does the install. So we're going to prepare the installer, again, change mod to give it permissions. And then we're going to actually run the install right here. Again, all according to docs. And then we're done. Hand control back here. And then we want to clean up, dismount all the files, and so on. So here's a little piece to do that. And we're done. So again, pretty simple stuff, but hopefully illustrating the idea of what's possible, that it's really not that complex to get it done in many cases, and hopefully is spurring the interest in taking a look at what we can do or what you can do in your individual environments. So, and that's really it, right? That's really it. I want to, as far as the demos. So wrapping up, you know, I call it, it's a symphony, just trying to be cute, but again, reference to Neil. Neil has done a lot of blog work related to Orchestrator. There's some interesting things there. So another interesting thing that I hadn't even thought about, but it's a really cool application that he blogs. So status messages, right? We all know status messages, and you've looked at the status filter rules probably. May not have done anything with them, but you've looked at them. One of the items or one of the actions you can take on a status message or on a status filter rule is when you see a given status message, you can run a program. Well, if you know that a given status message always tends to indicate a problem in your environment, or you know what you need to do to fix that, or whatever the case is, you could build a runbook that in response to that status message, it just goes and fixes it, right? Or fixes it and tries to rerun, or whatever the case may be, right? Pretty cool implementation. Neil goes through that in his blog. Then there's Neil goes through how to actually build out right-click tools in the console and point to Orchestrator. So if you like that idea, if you're seeing some possibilities already, it's documented in Neil's blog. Then he goes through, and that runbook's available on his blog about how to install Unix and Linux systems and so on. The other thing I want to give a shout out to is Robert Hearn, who provided the SCO job runner. It's on CodePlex. If you want to download that and be able to call runbooks from a command line, awesome utility. You can call runbooks in other ways too, but this is a great quick utility that you can leverage in Config Manager. Other things, so there are, again, I mentioned Neil's other session, which is coming up. This is the code for it on Orchestrator and complex patching scenarios. definitely, if you are interested in what you've heard today, you want to understand it better as far as patching applications, go check out Neil's session coming up. There's the session code. And then there are a number of folks like Neil and myself in Premier Field Engineering Organization that are presenting sessions this week. Here are just a few of them. I will also give a shameless plug for my session on Thursday, which is all about Configuration Manager and boundaries. Boundaries? I know boundaries. Boundaries have been around since SMS 2.0. Yes, they have. But I think I'll tell you some things that you might not have seen and show you some scenarios where boundaries really play a pivotal role and help you understand them better. So I'd love to see you on Thursday for that session. And last thing I would say is, please, we want to hear from you. This is all about you, making sure that that you guys get the best out of this conference. So please let us know how we did. Let me know how I did. And with that, I'll say thank you and end the session.